And Father God, I just pray for grace during this time. I pray, Lord God, that you would settle everything and that you would give us the time we need to cover your scriptures. You have a plan in place, an order you're bringing forth in this hour, and we need to grab hold of it. Anchor ourselves to it. I pray, Father God. I pray, Father God, that as we press into your scriptures, as we press into your scriptures, Lord God, that you would open them up to us and bring forth your revelation, Lord God. Help me, Lord God. Help me. Thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name. Amen. This week the Lord's been speaking to me, and I know we've been talking about the children of light for some time now. But he's setting a new order. He's placing a new order for his children. A reset, if you will. As I studied what Paul was conveying to the Ephesians, as I studied Deuteronomy and the instructions of the Lord were released by Moses, the Lord began to pour into me a new order. He's calling his body to rise up in a new order, a righteous order, a holy order, an order that reflects who he is. As Paul conveyed to the Ephesians, to the Ephesians, he's setting a new order in place. Remember, the Ephesians were Gentiles. They weren't raised up in the ways of the Lord to have Christ come and fulfill the law. They didn't know the law. They had the order that they set up, that man implemented. The order between husbands and wives. The order between parents and children. The order between master and slave was corrupt because it was done in accordance with man and not God. And as Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, he is setting an order in place. Because these are the children of light, grafted into the vine, created to enter into union with Christ, union with him, a oneness in Christ. Chapter 5 and 6, they delve into the intricacies of what this means. He uses the example of the husband and wife. There's such a beauty in this scripture, in these passages. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Now we know, and many of us have read through the Bible many, many times, and we know that in this system of time, and in accordance with a lot of the Gentiles, there wasn't just the wife. If a man had so desired, he could have a servant that would come in and be his concubine. As long as he saved face publicly with his wife, because remember, they're the Roman Empire here. As long as he saved face publicly with his wife, he could line up the concubines. And Paul is saying, we need to stop. The Old Testament is full of kings who had many concubines, many wives. But Paul is saying, uh-uh. We need to reel this in, and we need to bring order into the house of God. One husband, one wife, coming together in one flesh, as one flesh. He's to leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife as one, one flesh. In the comparison with Christ to the church and husbands is to wives is so important here, because what he's saying is, what did Christ do? He died for the church, did he not? He died for the church. A husband is to so love his wife as he would be willing to lay down his life for her. I know the men on this line, and I believe every one of them would lay their lives down for their wives in a heartbeat. They wouldn't even have to think about it. It's instinctual, because they followed the scripture and they have united themselves with their wives as one. Paul is telling the wives, and I know women cringe at this. What? I got to submit to him? Oh, no, that's not going to happen. But what wife wouldn't want to do anything for her husband? A husband that is willing to die for her at a moment's notice. A husband that loves her so deeply he would die for her. Paul is saying, you need to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, you need to unite yourself with your husband and love him and honor him and serve him. Don't be busybodies. You come in and you do everything as unto the Lord. It's the same call he gives to the church. Come into your husband. Come into your groom. Be united as one. Paul is stripping away the ways of the world from the church. He gives the same commands to those in Colossians. He is stripping away the ways of the world, and he is resetting the order. He's resetting how they define relationships. He's resetting how they treat their brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's reminding them not only are they husbands and wives, but they are brothers and sisters in the Lord. He talks about fathers and sons. And as I studied that, and I went back into Deuteronomy and began reading that, Deuteronomy is a beautiful letter. This is Moses relaying the command of the Lord before they're about to go in and take the land, the promised land. And he lays it all out for them. And he says, fathers, take these scriptures that I've read to you. Take the command of the Lord and pour it into your children. In the morning, in the noontime, and in the evening. When you're out in the field, and when you're in your home, you teach your children in the ways of the Lord. It's your responsibility to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Nourish them in the admonition of the Lord. Why? Because they're creating the next generation of godly people. And if they don't pour into their children's lives now, these precepts, these principles, how in the world is this generation going to lead the next generation to be the children of God? His cry to them, raise your children up in the admonition of the Lord. Nourish them, because you are made responsible with training the next generation. He's setting things in order. Not only did Christ come in fulfillment of the law to the Jews, but he has come to the Gentiles as well. He has grafted them in, and a retraining, a resetting is in order. Prepare the next generation to carry this. The time is now. I look at our youth today, and my heart just breaks for them. Because what has the enemy done? He stripped the authority of God from them. He stripped Bible from their schools. He stripped prayer from their schools. Parents who read the Bible to their children can actually have CPS called on them by their teachers. What kind of a society do we live in when we are supposed to be one nation under God and we can't teach our children who God is? He is resetting things. That's what he's doing in this hour, here and now. He is resetting. The prayers of the saints are paving the way for a resetting of the order of God. The vessels of light are coming forth. They're coming forth. And God is going to reset the order into a holy order, a righteous order before him. A righteous order before him. The enemy knows the power in the Word of God, which is why he has fought like he has to strip us of the Word. We think, well, I've got 15 Bibles in my house alone. Right. How many of them are dust-free?
How many of them have worn pages? Every house in America likely has a Bible of some sort. But to the children of God, pore over the scriptures, that they might allow those scriptures to transform them into His image, to oneness. God calls the church to union. This isn't just getting in the gates of heaven and hanging out along the fence line. This is coming into the banquet hall, the marriage feast with your Savior. This is intimacy with Him. He's setting things in order. Oh, what a mighty God we serve to have Paul pen these words so long ago that we might come today and birth them into the nation, birth them into the church, refining the church and creating and bringing forth vessels of light that carry the call, that are actually living testimonies of Christ. How did Jesus treat women? With honor. Even the prostitute, the Samaritan, the servant, the wealthy. They were all treated with honor and dignity, deserving of His time, because they craved time with Him. He brought them into His inner circle, a place of intimacy. Just like the disciples, a place of intimacy. Brother and sister, fellowship in the Spirit. When we read the New Testament, we see the example of Christ in every page, as these men lived out who Christ was. We even studied the relationship between master and servant. And these passages in Ephesians 6 have been used to subject the slaves in our nation. Obey your masters. What did they do? They forgot the rest of the passage, didn't they? They didn't include the rest of this passage. It says, masters, we're to treat our slaves with honor, with respect, forbearing punishment. In Philemon, Paul sends a letter to a slave owner. And he tells him what? He's sending him back, a runaway slave. And he's saying, listen, I encountered your runaway slave, and I've been ministering to him. And he has accepted Christ. Receive him back as you would receive me. Paul, receive him back as a brother in the Lord. This letter is such a beautiful example of how Philemon must treat his servants as brothers and sisters in the Lord, as Paul has instructed him. As brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's resetting the way we treat people. He's resetting the body of Christ. He's resetting the honor that we serve with. Just regardless of how you're treated, regardless of how your father treats you, or your mother treats you, or your boss treats you, or your husband treats you, do everything as unto the Lord and not unto man.
not with eye service,
meaning only doing it in the presence of that individual, but knowing your Father in heaven sees it all. In all that we do it as unto the Lord. And our reward will come forth. This is creating within the body of Christ integrity. Isn't that what's missing today? Integrity. Everywhere it's missing. We don't see it in schools. We don't see it in the workplace. We don't see it in the church. We don't see it in government. I appreciate the efforts that Trump is taking. I appreciate the efforts of the intercessors to pray this nation through into righteousness. But I'm telling you, God is restructuring things right now to bring us into a place of integrity before him.
That's right.
Integrity before him. Showing honor to our God. These two chapters, 5 and 6, they're so focused on the interpersonal relationships, relating them each to the individual's relationships with Christ. Did you see the connection there? Can you see the connection here? Whether it is our husband, our wife, our mother, our father, our son, our daughter, our boss, or a fellow co-worker, we are called to walk before them in honor, in integrity, as though Christ stood next to us every second of the day. Oh, wait, he does. He does. He's here, and he is resetting the order as we prayed and we linked our children up into their destiny. I saw the order of events that God is raising up. I saw what the enemy has tried to destroy because he knows what's coming. That's why we've got a bunch of wayward kids running around. Because the enemy has sought to destroy them from within. But the Lord God is calling them back, anchoring them into their destiny, and they will rise up as children of light in the order that God has created them to be in, walking in lives of integrity before him. Order is being restored as children and vessels of light. Order is being restored. We talked last couple of weeks about the spirit of holiness coming forward and living a life where people look at us and say, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. And that is what we speak over our children. That is what we speak over our spouses. That is what we speak over our brothers and sisters, our parents, our grandparents, our sons and our daughters, our nieces and our nephews. We speak it in the name of Jesus. Order is being restored in the body of Christ so that the body of Christ will be seen as a holy vessel in the earth. So many people in the world won't go into church. Why? Because they say they're just a bunch of hypocrites. I saw that worship person over there. That person on that singing team. I saw them in the bar last night. What's the difference between us? That God is calling us to rise up and take our place. The spirit of holiness resides within us.
live our lives pure and holy before Him, demonstrating the nature and character of God. He's restoring order in the church so that when people walk through that door, they fall to their knees because repentance is all around. Holiness is all around. And all they want to do is drink of it. He's going to remove the compromise in the church and replace it with His holy presence. So that when people see the church, they think of the church. They think of that which belongs to God, and not that which man has made of it. Those who have left their father and their mother and joined themselves as one with Christ. There was a revival that took place in a small town, and I can't tell you any names. I can't tell you any information except this. And I'm sorry about that, but forgive me. If anybody else here remembers it, please speak up. Intercessors prayed this revival in. They prayed this revival in. And the Spirit of the Lord came in that city so powerfully that when people entered the city, they fell on their face in the streets before the holiness that was in that city. Intercessors prayed it in. The holiness that was in that city was so powerful, so pure, that before they could enter the church, they were on their faces in the street. And they would be on their faces for hours. This wasn't about a bunch of dancing around the pews, a shouting and a raising our fists. This was about honoring the Lord God Almighty. This was about intimacy with God. This was holiness. Holiness emanated from that city. This was like over 100 years ago. It was a long time ago. When the Lord comes through, the hospitals are emptied. And the hearts are pricked with the knowledge of their absolute need for God. And the children of light fall on their faces before Him in honor, allowing Him to wash over them and purify them right where they lay, resetting within them all that is not of Him removed, and a new vessel comes forth. Children of light emanating the light of Christ. Everywhere they go, His light pours out. This is where He's calling us. I'm going to give you an example of one of the most precious moments of my youth. My aunt and uncle were married when I turned 11.
years later, I already had Tiffany. She was a couple years old. So they've been married maybe a decade or a little bit longer. And I was sitting in their living room, and it was their anniversary. And they were talking about where they were going to go celebrate their anniversary. And they have a tradition. They like to go have lobster on their anniversary. And as they looked at one another, discussing, I mean, we don't have a lot of options here in this town, but they were trying to discuss one. But as they looked at one another, it was like they became cocooned in this bubble of love. It was so powerful and so pure. My uncle looked at my aunt, and my aunt looked at my uncle. It was so pure, their love. I began to cry. I said, "You guys really love each other, don't you?" Because the love they had between them, that they still have today, emanated from them as a unit, as one. It emanated from them. And it began to fill the room with the intensity of their love for one another. It was a beautiful, pure love. That was almost 30 years ago. And I still remember it like it happened an hour ago. The intensity of it penetrated my heart so deeply. I still remember it. Like it happened an hour ago. When you enter a room, do people feel your oneness with Christ so greatly that they weep and long to be a part of what you are, what you have, what lives inside of you? Is it so full of life that people want what you have? Do they know what you have? Ask yourself, do they know what you have? Is it so great? Is the intensity so powerful that it emanates from you and cocoons those in the room in the love you share with your Lord? God is redefining the order of His church. His children, His vessels of light. That's what we're called to be. Anything less needs to be cast away. Anything less. It's inexcusable in this hour. Anything less. Because He's drawing us in. Do you feel the draw? Do you feel the anchor in your heart? Have you been anchored into the destiny God has for you? We prayed it over our children. From 4 weeks all the way up to 40, do you have your destiny so anchored in Him that when people come into your presence, all they want is to be cocooned in the love that you share with your God? Heavenly Father, bring us to this place where our hearts just long for more of you. You fill us, and you fill us to capacity. And Father, We just cry out for more. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Let us feel your presence so deeply in our lives, Lord God, that those around us can't help but be swept up in the love that we share. Help us come to this place, oh God. Help us come to this place that we can be so anchored in you. Our destiny is so grounded in you. That nothing can shake us. Nothing can pull us away. Nothing can interfere with the call that you have in our lives, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. And your precious name. Amen.